The shiur this morning is going to be about the Haftorah for the second day, of Rosh Hashanah. Don't ask me why I chose the second day of Rosh Hashanah. If I would have chosen the first, you would have said, why the first and not the second? Whatever it is, I like the Torah readings and the Haftorah readings on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and a whole year long. And I'm afraid you're ready to make that statement that you laugh at me that this is one of my favorite Haftorahs. Okay, but it certainly is, there's no question about it. And you will see in the course of the Haftorah that there are themes here that really run like a fine thread through all of Tanakh. The Haftorah for the second day of Rosh Hashanah it's in Sefer Yirmiyahu. And as we go through it, we're going to try and figure out why indeed it was chosen as the Haftorah for the second day. One thing I will say in that connection at the very beginning, the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah says, Sarah, Rachel, and Hannah. Sarah, or better look, we'll put it in the order of Sarah, Hannah, and Rachel. These three women were remembered by God on Rosh Hashanah, and the decision was made on high that they will give birth. Sarah had waited 90 years, 90 long years to have a child. The decision that they will have children, Sarah, Rachel, and Hannah. The Torah reading of the first day, of Rosh Hashanah, is the birth of Yitzchak, and Sarah. The Haftorah for the first day of Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, where Hannah gives birth. The Haftorah that we are learning today is the Haftorah that's going to mention those great, grand, majestic psukim of Kol B'Ramah Nishma, the voice is heard in Ramah, Rachel Mevaka Avaneh, Rachel cries for her children, Kigeinenu. So therefore we see that Rachel, Sarah, Hannah, and Rachel are significant parts of the reading of the Torah and the Haftorah on Rosh Hashanah. But there are going to be many other themes that we are going to see in this Haftorah. So let's begin. We're going to begin with the text. Kol Hashem. So says God. Motzochein v'amidbar. Israel found favor in God's eyes in the desert. Am Sirite Chore, they were a people who had survived the sword. Baloch v'hargiyo Yisrael. And he's taking them in order that they should find rest, tranquility in Eretz Yisrael, or the people of Israel should find tranquility. Of course, the Mefarshim say that it's talking about Jews going out of Egypt, and there in the desert, the relationship was developed between God and the Jewish people, ultimately that he should be able to bring them to the place of their safety, security, tranquility, and peace. Of course, there's no question about it that the pasuk can very well be understood in terms of the context of our own time. Am Siri de Chorev, a people who had survived from the sword. The Rebbein Shem brings the remnants, the exhausted and emaciated remnants of the Klal Yisrael out of the Shoah to Eretz Yisrael. Merachok Hashem Nirali. From afar, God appears to me. May very well mean that this is Yirmiyahu saying these are things that I heard a long time ago. It may also mean that, you know, over the distance of time, I'm able to see the Rebbein Shlom. Sometimes we can't perceive what his plan for us is. It can take us 50 years or 100 years or a sweep of history to be able to see step by step what the Revelation had in mind. We don't necessarily see it in our lifetime. We, of course, are different. I would say we are different than just about any other generation that preceded us in history. We're able to see. We can see within the historic context exactly step by step what took place from Shoah to Eretz Yisrael, to the growth, the development of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. And we can see the tapestry before us. We have a general idea of what's going to happen. We don't know the details of what's going to happen, but the broad outline, is there before us. It's there before us. Merachok Hashem Niroli, va'ahavat olam artich, the Revelation says, my love for the Jewish people was an eternal one. Al-kein shachtich ha-chosed, therefore I drew you with chesed, with kindness. And I promise you, and of course, in this chapter, in Tanakh, we will see again something that I talked about a few weeks ago, and I think I will be reminding you of this every so often from time to time. I said that there's a debate that goes on and has been going on for 60, 70, 80 years. What should we call the period of time in which we live? And people can get very, very hot under the collar, and it can be the source of serious altercations, arguments. Those who say that this is the end of Golos, those who say that this is Atchalta de Geula, the beginning of redemption, those, of course, who say that this is the worst Golos we've ever been in. Geulas by Eden, so the end is still appearing. Then, of course, there are those who say that this is Reshit Tzlichat Geulat Einu. You know, religious Zionists say in the shul on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Tefillah L'Shalom HaMedina, which was written by Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog Zecher Tzadik L'Vavcha, the great second chief rabbi of Israel, Reshit, the beginning of the flowering of our redemption. But people can get very, very upset about this. I don't see anything to get upset about. I mean, it's clear that it's Reshit Tzmichat Geula, but I'm not going to take any position on that. In order to keep the peace amongst my grandchildren, who cover a wide spectrum, they go to all sorts of yeshivot and ulpanot and the works. And the only thing that I at least believe that even though they may find themselves in the darkest of yeshivas, they carry within their hearts the hashkafa of Saba. So I told them very clearly, I came up with a formula that made everybody happy,
yeah,
and that nobody can disagree with it. And I mentioned it a few weeks ago, I consider, without doubt, there's a question about it. The period in which we live is the period of Kiyum Divrei HaNeviim, the fulfillment of the words of the prophets. There's not a soul in the world who can disagree with it. And we're going to see. Look what Yom was saying in the name of God. This is 2,500 years ago or more. Und evneich v'nivneit, I will yet build you and you will be revealed. Betulak Yisrael, new version of Israel. O tadin tu payech, you're going to take your... You will be adorned with your drums, the atzot, the nechol, the sachakim, and you're going to go out to dance. O tit'i keramim b'harei Shomron. You're going to plant vineyards in the mountains of Shomron. I promise you, go to Harei Shomron, and you're going to see vineyards that haven't been there for 2,000 years. O tit'i keramim b'harei Shomron. Natu notim b'chileu, those who plant it, and they will ultimately redeem it, and they will be able to eat it. We see that, we see it in our very own, in our animal lives right now. Ki yesh yom, there will be a day. He's talking about what's going to be in the future. We already experienced. We know it. It's an unusual period of history in which we live. Lo Yu'uman. My Bubbas and my Zaydas wouldn't have believed it. K'yesh Yom. There will be a day. Karuno Tzvim Bahar Efrayim. There will be a day that the Notzrim, the word here means the guardians, those who watch, the Shomrim, are going to call out in the mountains of Ephraim, in the Shomron, Kumu v'nal et Tzion el Hashem Elokeinu, let's arise and go up to Tzion, to God our God. Can you imagine Yirmiyahu having said that at a time when the Shomron had already been desolate, destroyed, there were no Jews living there, the 10 tribes had long ago gone into exile, and here the Babylonians are banging against the gates of Yerushalayim. Everything is beginning to crumble completely. Israel is on its way out into exile. Jews are in shackles, they're in chains, and his prophetic mind's eye sees another day that will come where there will be Jews in Yehuda v'Shomron, and they're going to plant vineyards, and they're going to say, let's go up to Yerushalayim. Watch. Ki chomer Hashem, because so says God. Ranu l'Yakov simcha, sing for Yaakov with joy, v'tzahabu v'rosh hagoyim, and be full of happiness as you stand above all of the nations of the world. Hashmiu, let it be heard. Hallelu v'imru, praise and say. Hoshar Hashem et amcha et she'edit Yisrael. God, Hashem, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Save your people, the remnant of Israel. We saw it before our very eyes in our day. Great pasuk that's coming up, which also happens to be a theme in the davening of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Kibbutz Goyot, the ingathering of the exiles. Hinanim v'yotam, behold, I will bring them here to Zichron, to the land of the north. V'kipatzim, and I will gather them in v'yakat ha'yoretz, from the very ends of the earth. Bam, in them will be Ivehu Ka'al. No Jew will be left behind. Was that Mordechai ben David? No Jew will be left behind. I'm going to bring the blind, the lame, horror v'yoledet yachdav, the woman who's pregnant, the one who has given birth. Kohol gadol yoshuvu heino, a great community is going to return here. So here it is. I'm minding my own business this morning. And minding my own business means reading the Jerusalem Post. I think it's Daf 7. And the Jerusalem Post says this morning that nearly all of the plans are in place to bring up the B'nai Menashe to Eretz Yisrael. See the big article on it. B'nai Menashe. This pasuk excited me first when they brought the that 36-hour airlift in which Ethiopian Jews were brought to Eretz Yisrael over a Friday night, a Shabbos, a Sunday. It was an awesome scene. My joy Shabbos, I remember, they showed scenes of thousands of Jews coming off planes. It was unbelievable. I remember that Rosh Hashanah, I also said, shot in this pasuk. May very well be that Yirmiyahu saw it in his prophetic mind's eye, but we should have understood that that's what the pasuk is talking about. There were 8 women who got onto those planes to Eretz Yisrael, who were pregnant and arrived in Eretz Yisrael having given birth. So I wanted to learn Pshat, that's what he meant when he said, Hora v'yoledet yachta. The pregnant woman and the woman who gave birth, all one, same one, started the journey pregnant, came to Eretz Yisrael holding a baby in hand. It's also, I hold that Yirmiyahu saw this in advance 2,500 years ago or more. This is one of the classic great psukim of Kibbutz Goyos. That's going to be a theme of Rosh Hashanah. V'hoya b'yom ha'hu, yitoka b'shofar gadol, in shofaros of Rosh Hashanah, and it shall be on that day the great shofar will be blown. Ubo ha'ovdim me'eretz Ashur, those who were lost in the land of Ashur, v'hanidochim, and those who were dispersed, be'eretz Mitzrayim, and they're going to come back, v'yishtachavu l'Hashem, v'har ha'kodesh, b'Yerushalayim. That was Shlomo Kalbach. You know, if we mention Avraham Fried and Mordechai ben David, Shlomo Kalbach has to get that great song, that great song. Uvo ha'ovdim me'eretz Ashur. And of course, in Musaf, you always have it. And this is something that I don't understand how Jews not living in our Sulkin. You know, the Korei Pizureinu Mi Ben Agoyim. Since this is going on for the website, you know, you need a little music on the website too. The Korei Pizureinu Mi Ben Agoyim. Gathering, we prayed for that for 2,000 years, and we happen to be living at a time that it's been fulfilled. Get on the first plane and come. Get up and come. This was all clearly described. The period in which we live is indeed the period of the fulfillment of the words of the prophets. We had made a comment in last week's shiur that more than a comment, we brought to your attention in last week's shiur that the two, Tshuva and Eretz Yisrael, are inextricably intertwined. The Parsha Katshuva, we learned the Parsha Katshuva in Parsha Nitzavim. V'hoya ki yavo alecho kol ha'dvarim ha'ela ha'brocho v'atolo, when all of these sins shall come upon you, the blessing and the curse, v'shaftan, you should return, v'Hashem Elokecha. And then, v'shav Hashem Elokecha, tshuva, God is going to return your captivity. Im yenidach ha'kol b'gitzei ha'shavayim ka'ar, it's in Slichus every day, and it's going to be in the Davin Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You're going to be dispersed out to the very ends of the heaven. From then, there God is going to, and that's going to begin the process of a spiritual return to the Chavei Shalom. And we also pointed out in that Parsha Hatshuva in Yitzhakim, it says God is going to bring you back the Tivicha. And he's going to be good to you. And he's going to make you more numerous than your fathers. So here, Jerusalem Post this morning, there are 7,800,000 people living in Eretz Yisrael. I didn't get to read, you know, in the morning I usually learn to read the headlines. I didn't get into the article to find out how many are Jews. Certainly more than 6 million. 5 million point eight. All right, so we're probably by next Rosh Hashanah, there'll be 6 million Jews here. That's a very significant number. When we reach that, that's a very significant number. And one doesn't have to elaborate on that. You know, I spoke about mitzvah yesterday. I have nothing better to do with myself, you know. It was a young man, a bar mitzvah boy from Ranana. So, you know, people from Ranana came, people from other parts. So I talked to this young bar mitzvah boy, and I asked him, you know, people come to Yerushalayim. What do they see when they come to Yerushalayim? So I said, there are those who see the new light rail. So I said, Tedalcha, Bakur Mitzvah. The Mitzvah, you should know, Yesh Od Amim Ba'olam Sheyesh Rakabot Kavod. There are other cities in the world that have light rails. I didn't want to say better, faster, nicer. It's our light rail. It's a Yiddish Yerushalayim light rail. We are very proud of it. Very proud of it. I haven't yet been on it. I think I have to go to the mikveh first before I take my first ride on the light rail. But I thought that's not what you come to Yerushalayim for. There are those, of course, who may come to Yerushalayim because of the Mamilla Mall, the Mamilla Mall. I make no mistake, the Mamilla Mall is a gorgeous mall. But we know, those of us who are big travelers, finding, I don't want to say Shenava malls, but there are other beautiful malls all over the world. I told him, do you know how you're supposed to look at the Yerushalayim that you come to? You have to look at it the way Rabbi Akiva would look at it. You have to look at it the way Rabbi Akiva looked at Yerushalayim when Yerushalayim was in absolute ruins and he saw a fox coming out of the Holy of Holies. Chachmei Yisrael cried, Rabbi Akiva left, and the great conversation, why are you laughing? Why are you crying? He asks them. Well, we're crying because look at all the desolation. He says, that's why I'm smiling. Because if the prophecy of destruction was fulfilled so precisely, then I am absolutely certain that the prophecy of redemption is also going to be fulfilled. And he quoted the great psukim in Zechariah, that as I told you once, I went to Rabbi Akiva's Keva and I said those psukim over there, chapter 8 in Zechariah, oh, the Yeshus and Kenus and Kenos, the elderly, are going to be sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim, Ish Mishantom Piyato, holding a cane. Yeladim v'yeladot v'sachachim v'chobotah, children are going to be playing in the streets of Yerushalayim. You understand? What Zechariah said, and what Rabbi Akiva said, we see it before our eyes every day. And if you don't get excited when you see it, you got a problem. So I told this little bicycle, when you walk through the streets of Yerushalayim, you have to see the fulfillment of Divrei HaNeviim. You can look at the Rakevet Kala and you can take a ride on it. You can go buy something at Manila, but that's not the essence of Yerushalayim. The essence of Yerushalayim, the people. Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem. Who builds Yerushalayim? The Rebbeim builds it. How does he build it? Bricks. Balatot. Nidechei Yisrael Yechanes. He gathers in exiles of Israel with the bricks. The Urim, the Jews, we are the bricks of Yerushalayim. Hinini Meviotam again. I bring them the Eretz Shafon from the land of the north of Kibbutz Tim, the Archetei Aretz, Bom, Ibe, Upisea, the blind and the lame, Horavi, Aledet, Yachdov, Kahol, Gadol, Yoshivu, Heyo, a great community. That's what I saw, the Ethiopians were a great community and they came as a community. Bivechi, Yavaru. They're going to come with tears, with weeping. Bivchi avo v'tachanunim ovilein. V'tachanunim, and the prayers I will bring them, olichen olmachalimayim, I'm going to bring them to rivers of water. B'derech yashar, to be straight. And then they came here as the crow flies, straight. B'derech yashar. Lo yukoshlu ba. No one is going to stumble. No stumbling. Straight, ki hayiti Yisrael av v'Efrayim b'chorihu. I was a father to Yisrael. That's of course a theme of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Avinu Malkeinu, ki hayiti Yisrael av v'Efrayim. Efrayim is my b'chor, my beloved one. Ephraim represents the 10 tribes, they're going to come back. They're going to come back, as we see, the B'nai Menashe. Shibud v'Hashem goyim v'agidu v'iri mechot. Listen to the word of God, you nations, and tell all the islands through the world, distant v'imru. What a beautiful phrase. What a beautiful phrase. Now it moves me. Mizorei Yisrael yikatzenu. The one who scattered Israel. Mizorei Yisrael yikatzenu. The one who scattered Israel will gather them in. Ushimaro, and he's going to take care of them. He's going to watch over them. Kiro edro, like a shepherd watches his shepherd. You can count on that pasuk. He has to know that pasuk. He thinks he's going to be able to lift a hand against the Jewish people. Tragic, tragic mistake. Yes.
I think that instead of his regular speech, Netanyahu should have read this at the UN.
Netanyahu did well, by the way.
Yeah,
he did well.
He should have read this.
All right. He reminded the world of who said his name is Binyamin. Sure, he could have read this. I could have given him another 50 texts to read. By the way, I did once give a prime minister a text to read. Before Shamir went to Madrid. I get a call from somebody in the Foreign Office. Rabbi, where does it say Shalom, Shalom, Larachot v'Lakarov? Peace, peace to the distant and the near. Amar Hashem, peace to all. I said, I'll tell you exactly where it is.
Yeah.
You think I remember? I knew it wasn't Yishayahu, but you know what else I knew? I knew that it's the Haftorah for Yom Kippur in the morning. So, as I'm coughing on the phone, I pull out a marzer of Yom Kippur. I open up, I see, Nunches. Yishayahu, Nunches, etc., etc. And by the way, of course, he did quote, Shalom, Shalom, Lachachok, Amar Hashem, Urfati. The fellow who worked in the Foreign Office happened to be a member of my shul. In other words, I could have left you with the impression that the Foreign Service chose one rabbi in all of Israel upon whom they could depend. Why not? I mean, I should have kept you on a leash, you understand, until I tell you the truth. So, remember my shoes, I told him. Well, Rabbi, thank you very much. Mizorei Yisrael yikatzenu. The one who disperses Israel, he's going to gather them in Shmaro, and he will guard them to go ahead and go like a shepherd. Mizmor ledovi, Hashem ro'i lo echsar. The Rebbein Shem is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me by tight still waters. Ubo, and they're going to come, Vinidinu, and they are going to sing, Vimiron Tzion, the heights of Tzion, Vinoharu, and they're going to flow El Tu Hashem to the goodness of God, Al Dagan, Al Tidosh, Beal Yitzhar. And there's going to be an abundance. There's going to be a great abundance of grain, of wine, of oil. There will be sheep, there will be cattle. The pasuk is describing there's going to be such shefa. How do you say it in English? Abundance. I made two forays into one of the new supermarkets near Hanover. There are two big supermarkets. One is Osherad, and the other one is Rami Levy. Rami Levy I don't go into because there's never any parking space. There are places, 500 cars there all the time. But I did walk into Osherad, and it only gave 10 minutes. I had to turn around and walk out my head simply for so much stuff and so much of each thing. It's unbelievable. I thought back to 30 years ago, you had to face a makolet with a few this and a few. And you take a look what's there. It's unbelievable, the chef of this country. How many countries in the world do you think you have something like this? Most countries in the world, you don't have it. This is a promise. The Rebbeinu Shloim promise and his fulfilling before our very eyes. And maybe the only thing that we think about when we go into Osher Am or Rami Levi, I still remain loyal to Chicago. We keep coming to Chicago. The only thing we think about is that the lines are too big, the cottage cheese costs 5 agorot more. You take a look at it, you have to think of this process. You have to think of this process. I'm going to bring you the Noharu, they're going to flow to Hashem. Al Dolom, Al Tiro, Al Yitzo, Al Bnei Tzon, Boko, V'haitam, Hashem, Kigam, Raveh. And their soul will be like a well-watered garden. And this, of course, you will recognize. V'lodo Sifu, L'davo, Oth. And they will no longer have agony, unhappiness. This is what we here in Eretz Yisrael add. When we come to Menachem Avol, Amakim Menachem Avol, B'tok, Sha'avili, Tzim, Yushalayim, V'lodo Tosifu, L'davo, Oth. Oth, just found the Tulada Machol, then the young girl is going to be full of joy and dance. Upachurim, Uzakeinim, Yachtov. By the way, this is nearly the same prophecy as the prophecy of Zechariah. You can have the young and the old. Upachurim, Uzakeinim, Yachtov. V'hafachti Eblomus Hasan. I'm going to turn over their mourning and turn it into joy. V'nichamtim, I will console them. V'simachtim, I will give them joy, me, and go numb from their unhappiness. Well, beautiful, beautiful prophets. V'niveti, nefesh koyim, v'doshem. And I will satisfy the desire of the Kohanim with fatness. V'amir tuvi isbo. My people are going to be sated with my goodness. It's unbelievable. We have kol tov shebaolam. Kol tov, we have everything you want of it. Do I have to repeat it again? Yeah, I'll repeat it again. Is it on the website, Baylor? If you want to speak to God, it's not on the website. Not yet. If you want to speak to God, you go to the Kotel. Get it straight, Ziegler. You want to speak to God, go to the Kotel. You want to see him, go to Shuk Machne Yehuda. That's what he's saying over here. That's where you see the Rebbeinu Shloim, so to speak, in the flesh, Kibiyachol. Ko Amar Hashem, so says God, Kol Beroma. Nishma, these great sukkim, kol beroa, nishma, a voice is heard on high. That's one of the mafarshim. There are two other pshatim, kol beroa, there was a place called Rama. And another pshat that Rama means a loud voice. There's a loud voice coming out, kol beroa. Nishma, Nehi Bechi Tamrim, what unbelievable psukim. Wailing, bitter weeping, Rachel Mevakar, Rachel cries for her children, May Amalahi Nachem. She refuses to be consoled. Al Boneho Kianen. She refuses to be consoled about her children who are no more. I think the last time I said this must have been about 7 or 8 years ago. You know my great word on this. Tell me you don't.
No. I'd like to hear it again.
You want to hear it again? Yeah, do you remember what it was?
No.
Okay, so don't tell me. Okay, see, look, we got you. Okay? There are a few very difficult psukim in Torah. Says the following. Rachel came to Yaakov and she said to him, Hovoli bonim, give me children. Listen carefully. Hovoli bonim, give me children. being ayin and not meta and not I'm dead. The response of Yaakov is very difficult to understand. It says, "Vayichar af Yaakov b'Rachel." Yaakov got angry with Rachel, and he said to her, "Hatachet elokim onochi? Am I in place of God? Hashem mona mumeich, who has withheld from you prepotent the fruit of the womb?" Very, very sharp words that he said. Which, of course, it's not logical what Rachel said. Rachel says, "Give me my children, and if not, I'm dead." But he can't do that. He can't deliver. Yaakov can't give it to her. I mean, so obviously, what's happening over here? This is a woman who's in terrible pain. She doesn't have to say something that's logical, and he gets angry with her. He gets angry with her. So the Rambam brings on the spot a medrash. It's also brought by the Mesillas Yesharim in chapter 4 of the Mesillas Yesharim, that God turned to Yaakov and he said, "Kach onin es hamu'ukos, is this how you answer a woman who's in pain?" God condemned Yaakov. I wonder, is that where it ended? Doesn't the Rebbeinu Shlom have to tell him, how do you answer and respond to a woman who is in pain? Could very well have been that Yaakov should have said, "Let's say another kapitel tillin together." They most probably did that 1,000 times. I think there's something far, far deeper here in these Pesukim. Far, far deeper. Fast forward. It's the day of the Churban Bet HaMikdash. Famous medrash that says, Yirmiyahu ran to the Maarat HaMachpelah, he woke up Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, tell them there's going to be a Churban. And they stand up before the heavenly bar of justice, the Ribono Shel Olam, and they plead for the Jewish people. Moshe pleads, David pleads. All of them are rejected.
Only to Rachel.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. And then Rachel comes in. And Rachel is the one. Oh. God listens to Rachel, the Medrash says, because Rachel told him, "Listen, you feel bad, Rabbi Shimon, that your people rejected you for somebody else. Take a look at what I did for somebody else. I gave up the greatest love of my life for my sister." I wanted to say a completely different shot, and I think I once described the story. I had to speak at the Israel Center, the Alta Israel Center, 10 Rehov Strauss. It was a Matzah Shabbos, and I had to talk on behalf of Evelyn Hayes, the guardian angel of the of Kever Rachel. And I didn't have a speech, and I was in desperate straits. It was a Matzah Shabbos. I worked very hard. I didn't know what to do. And then my son is driving me to the Israel Center, and we passed Binyanei Uma, and I don't have anything yet, and I look everywhere, I say, "Rabbeinu, I'm going to come in there to talk about Kever Rachel, and I'm going to be stuck, you know, it's going to be like a big zone." On Hashem Hoshiyona. By the time we got to Rechov HaNeviim, something began to gel, then we made that left turn in the park in front of the Israel Center. In those days, you know, you could park on Strauss any place you wanted. And I said the following. Fast forward from this conversation between Rachel and Yaakov. Hatachet elokim anochi, Hashem amon ani meir pri paten. The scene is standing before the heavenly bar of justice, and Rachel has now just walked in. And Rachel, what do you think is Rachel saying? Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Havoli banim, give me my children. V'yamayin, if not, I'm dead. And there is Yaakov standing on the side. What's he going to say now? What's the Kabbalah going to say? The Kabbalah is going to tell Rachel, listen, Rachel, you know, they sinned. They've done terrible things. I mean, I thought I have to punish them. And of course, Yaakov is waiting in the wings to say, Kach onim etachu. This is the way you respond to a woman who's in pain. And what did she say? She's mevako al bonecha. Do you know what happens as a result of God having told Yaakov, is this the way you answer a woman in pain? You know what the Galatian is doing? He is making certain that when Rachel is going to turn to him and say, give me my children, and if not, I'm dead, he has no choice. Yaakov had a choice because Yaakov was still able to say, Hatachat alekilonot here, am I in the place of God? The Galatian doesn't have it. You are God! But that's not really the way it happened. I'll tell you exactly the way it happened. Doesn't God have to tell Yaakov, how do you answer? Okay? I've told you off. But how do you answer? Oh, God told them exactly how to answer. And when do we find that out? In Parshat Vayechi. In Parshat Vayechi, Yaakov Avinu asks Yosef, I'll not take Vereni in Mitzrayim, don't bury me in Mitzrayim, take me to Eretz Yisrael and bury me there. And then there's the great pasuk with the awesome Rashi. Va'ani bevoni mi Padan, and I, when I came from Padan, meto olai Rachel badera. Rachel died on the road, and I didn't even take her into the city of Bethlehem to bury her. I buried her on the road. And the awesome Rashi, where Rashi says that Yaakov finally told Yosef, Al pi hadibur kvarti hasham. I buried your mother on the road over there. That was a direct command of God. That's why I did it. Al pi hadibur kvarti hasham. I buried her there on the road. Why? Because the Rebbeinu told me she's going to be buried there so that when her children are going to go into exile, she is going to rise above her kever and she's going to pray for Klal Yisrael. And you know what I'm going to tell her? V'shavu banim l'gvulah. I'm going to promise her that her children are going to come back. That's how you answer the Levukot. Yaakov Avinu didn't have to wait till the day of the Churban to know how things are going to play out before the heavenly court. He knew every step of the way. What's Rachel asking for? Rabbeinu Shlom, give me my children. She refuses to be consoled. Al bonel ki enenu, about her children who are not. The word enenu is a fascinating word. We don't have time to go into a full treatment of the word enenu. Enenu means somebody who is alive, but not here. Enenu doesn't mean dead. Yaakov Avinu, when he hears his sons telling him the story of what happened in Egypt, they went down to Egypt and this fellow, Tzafnas Paneach, accused them of being spies. So they tell him, listen, we told this man that we were 12. V'ha'echad einenu. V'ha'echad einenu. Oh, that was a pretty good shit. That was a long time ago. Yaakov Avinu picked up on that. For years they've been talking about Yosef in the houses. Yosef, Ol Hashom, Schuso Yogin Aleinu. But no, there was a slip of the tongue. We told this man in Egypt for her effort, einenu. Oh! Did Yaakov Avinu pick that up? And then he turns to them and he says, all right, Shimon Einanu, V'Yosef Einanu, this one isn't, and that one isn't. You're going to take Binyamin? She prays for her children, Einanu. There's going to be more significance to this than in previous generations. You'll see. There's something we've learned here that is so powerful. Listen to this. The Rebbe Shem says to a mini kalei mibefi, withhold your voice from crying ve'nechomi ve'enayich midima, in your eyes from tears. Because of what you've done, they shall return, I promise you, they shall return to the land of the enemy. And there is hope for the future. The children are going to return to their boundaries. You know what we, in our generation, learn from this passage? If anybody has a doubt, does God listen to prayer? Here's the answer. Rachel prayed. Rachel, for that matter, pounded on the table and demanded. God promised. And we are the fulfillment of God's promise. Make no mistake. You're here because of Rachel, the neighbor. The mama, Rachel, said that her children should come back. We're the children. We're back here. God listens to the prayer of Rachel. The shovel bottom of the Fulham. Two promises. God promised the shovel may edit so the enemy will return from the land of the enemy. And he also promised the shovel bottom of the Fulham that children are going to return to their family. This is talking about two separate and distinct kinds of people. There are those, Chaim Waxman, the sociologist, in his book on American Aliyah. So he says, and we know it, there are two reasons that people come here. They come either by pull or by push. There are Jews who come because they have to come. All doors are closed. All doors in the world are closed. Come here. There are bonim. There are children who know that they're coming back the gvulam. This is our land. We have once said this with regard to the great pasuk in Yeshayahu 2 weeks ago, it was the Haftorah. Mi ele ka'avtu ufeno, who are these that fly like the cloud, v'chayonim el arubotayim, and like pigeons going back to their coats. Famous part of Avram Yitzchak Isaac, Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk, there are two descriptions here. Those who come like the cloud, and those who are pigeons, going back home. He says two kinds of Jews are going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. There are those that are going to be like the cloud. The cloud has no inner mechanism that navigates it. The clouds go where the wind blows. There is no will, desire, plan for the cloud. There are Jews who are going to come back like clouds because all forces in the world are going to be sending them in one direction because there is no other place to go. But then there are others. There are others who have a homing mechanism built in. They know where home is. And they're going to be like the birds, the pigeons flying home. That's what the Rebbeinu is telling Rabbi. There are those v'shavu who are going to return me Eretz Oyev from the land of the enemy. You're going to have no choice. They're coming here. They can choose it. The choice is made for them. But then there are bonim who who are going to return, l'gvulam. They know it's their land, it's their place, and that's where they're going to go. Isn't it awesome to read this on Rosh Hashanah and take a look around, take a look at yourself, and maybe shed a little tear of hakaras hatov, of gratefulness. The Mama of Uchu, she stood up for us over there. I mean, was it Menachem Parash who said in the early Oslo Agreement, the Eibishtehupiten, Kever Rachel was not under Israeli sovereignty. One of the great moments of Menachem Parash's life, he went in to Yitzchak Rabin and he started crying like a baby. The Mama Uchu, she can take care of all of Klal Yisrael, and this little Klal Yisrael can't take care of one mama. Oh, well, he shook him up. So that's why you have that, you finally have those walls and things you can get into Kever Rachel. How could anybody ever have entertained the idea of giving up to Kever Rachel? It's something. It blows the mind.
What about
KVOC? Oh, okay. Save that when we come to the parasha of Yosef, and we'll talk about Yosef. Okay, all right. Very good. I agree with you. It's all right. Okay. So what it means is, number one, we have to understand why we are here, and we have to understand that the Rebbeinu listens to prayer. There is a sentence in the big Tachlon that we say on Mondays and Thursdays, I'm ready to bed. Most people don't pay attention because we want to finish it fast. Avinu Malkeinu Asei Imanu Os Letova. For years we've been playing for Beishon, make a sign for good. Gather in our exiles from all corners of the world. You know what? He did. Do we notice that he did? Do we notice that all of our prayers were fulfilled? I don't know if we get it. I know one group of people that are going to get it. That's for sure. You all got it. Asei Imanu Os L'Tova. All right. This is Rachel. Shamar Shamati Ephraim Mitodei. Again, I can go quickly because there's something here we must learn. Shamar Shamati Ephraim Mitodei. I have heard that Ephraim is sort of shaking back and forth. Ephraim is going through a process of tshuva. Yisartani, you chastised me. For Ivaser, and I have accepted your chastisement. Ke'egelo lumad Ephraim was like like an untrained calf. Hashiveni, this is Aseret Yimei Tshuva. Hashiveni, bring me back for Tshuva, and I will return. Ki ato Hashem Elokai, because you are God, my God. Ki acherei Tshuvi nichamti. After I did Tshuva, I regretted. And after I knew the extent of my sinfulness, sofakti al yorech, and clapped like this, oy vey, what did I do? Boshti, v'gam nechlamti. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. Gam nechlamti, ki nosoti cherpat l'unai, because I carried the shame, the disgrace of my youth. Let's turn over quickly for a moment. Let it not be said we didn't look at the second sign. Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, second chapter, Halacha Bet Umahi HaTshuva. The Rambam asks, what is the definition of Tshuva? Who? Sheazom HaChotei Cheto V'Yisino V'Machshato, that a person should remove the sin from doing the sin, remove it from his mind. V'Yibor B'Libo, and he should make a decision in his heart. Shalom Yaseihu O. He makes a decision, never going to do it again. Shenema, how do we know that? This is from another Haftarah. This is the Haftarah that we're going to read on Tzom Gedaliah this coming Sunday. It's the Haftarah for every fest day. Yazov, Rosho, Dargo, Vish, Oven, Machshavot, a man should forsake his sinfulness. V'chein nachem al sha'avan. He should also regret the past. Where does the Rambam learn that he should regret the past? Our pasuk. Shenema, ki acharei shuvu nichamti. Now there's something very fascinating over here. Wait a minute. Shouldn't regret come before tshuva? Acharei shuvi. After I did tshuva, nichamti, I regret it. It should be precisely the opposite. I regret it, and then I did tshuva. The real challenge here is the following. There's a regret that comes before tshuva, and there is a profound regret that comes after tshuva. After tshuva, when a person has already rebuilt and revitalized his relationship with the Rebbeinu, he begins to think to himself, they, how could I have acted the way I did? Look how my life has changed by virtue of the fact that I now have a healthier, good, and loving relationship between me and Kodesh Baruch Hu. The real depth of regret is felt only after the tshuva. The third aspect of tshuva, this is the most difficult of all. V'yod olav yodea talumos, the one who knows all secrets, should be able to testify about him. Shono Yoshua Zahet Lolom, that he's not going to return to that sin ever. Shenema, as it says, and this is, like, it's unbelievable. We got it all. This pasuk comes from another Haftarah. This pasuk comes from the Haftarah of Shabbos Shuvah. V'lo nomar od Eloheinu l'maaseh yodeinu. We will no longer say that which we made with our own hands is our God. Then still, see what the Talmud did over here? The Haftarah of Tainus Tzibur. That, you know what? Wait a minute. Is it every year like that? No. These three Haftarahs come in a row. On Friday is the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Mm-hmm. We're going to read this Haftarah. Ki acharei shuvi nichamti. Okay? Shabbos Shuvah, we're going to read V'lo nomar od Eloheinu l'maaseh yadeinu. Sunday is Tzom Gedaliah. You know what we can read there? Yazov Rosh Hadado v'yish oven machshavoto. There must be something significant to the fact that these three Haftarahs this year come in a row, because usually Shabbos Shuvah comes after some later point. It doesn't always come immediately after Rosh Hashanah. So we have the three fundamental principles of tshuva appearing, the three Haftarahs that follow in succession one after another. It's blowing my mind right now. I never thought of this before. So you have to give me a moment to recover from the... I'm going to read the last passage. So what will happen over here, but the fact is, I'm going to tell you the truth. The thrust of the shiur was supposed to have been on the idea and significance of busha, shame. I have a Gemara about shame. The Maharal talks about the power of being ashamed that he did an Aveira. Gemara says a person does an Aveira and he's ashamed of himself, is immediately forgiven. Shame. What? Such a stupid thing. I'm so embarrassed. Who's he embarrassed of? Nobody knows the Aveira did it. Only he knows the Aveira. The Rabbeinu knows. That's what he's embarrassed of. That's a great madrega when you're embarrassed of the fact that the Rabbeinu knows that you did that Aveira. Less possible. So that's what the shul was supposed to be about. So, Mitzvah Hashem, next year we'll talk about Busha. Busha is a very wide, Maharal has a great deal to say about Busha. Haben Yakil Le'Ephraim, is not Ephraim my most precious son? In Yelet Sha'ashuim, a delightful, a joy of a child. Kimi day dark before, whenever I talk about him, Zohores Gedera Rov, God says, I remember him. I love that Yigdal. Homo nei I lo, therefore my inner self yearns for him. I will be merciful toward him, Lehum Hashem, says God. What struck me, what an unusual pasuk. The day on which we read the story of Akedas Yitzchak. For Ephraim, put in the place of Ephraim, Yitzchak. The Rebbe Shem understands the great love that Avraham has for Yitzchak. The Rebbe Shem loves and his innards are turned upside down when he thinks, just thinks of Ephraim. And God has many children. Avraham has one. The Navi, in a sense, is giving us a picture that God understands the great devotion of an Avraham Avinu who is ready to bring his son to the Akedah. Why do we read it on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Do I have to answer that question, or has that question been answered 10 times during the course of this year? Everything from the idea that Rachel was remembered on Rosh Hashanah. God listens to our prayers and he keeps his promises, and we are living proof of the promises that he kept. Torah that gives us an insight into what the essence of tshuva really is. Boshti, nechlamti, achare shuvi, if I did tshuva, I had great regret. That's the essence of tshuva. For this and many other reasons, we read this haftarah on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. To all of you, I want to wish you a ksina, and remember, we have to have in mind that there are all sorts of forces out there in the world that are arrayed against us, and we just have to look the mind of Ben Shalom. He has a job to do. He has a job to do, and he said he made a promise in this Torah. Mizorei Yisrael Mikatzena, the one who dispersed Israel, will gather me Ushmaro. He's going to take care of Kali, so he's going to watch over us. Kiroe Edro, as a shepherd does his shepherd. It's Mola Dovid, Hashem Rui, Lord of Sar. Chag Sameach.